Blog Talk Radio.
All right. And here comes YouTube in just a minute. I forget we have these first two screens we have to cross and title before they open. Good evening, YouTube. We are so glad to be here with you and Blog Talk Radio as well. Welcome to another evening of Establishing Your Faith. And we are going to be spending the evening again at the San Diego Holy Spirit Conference with Dr. Barclay and team. It has been a really, really great week of teachings there. Oh my goodness, this morning, the teaching was powerful too. And I would not be surprised, though on Saturdays we don't usually have the morning prayer and declaration time. I would not be surprised if we won't still pull up the conference and play that tomorrow morning too, because it was a really, really good message this morning. So we'll see about that happening. And Roger made it to YouTube, and John is over on YouTube. Hi, John. It's so good to see you. So glad to have you with us. Yeah. Yeah, we love seeing your name pop up there, John. We miss you. And he's saying, hi, COF. Love you all. For everybody that's on Zoom that can't see those comments. Okay, so let me get this posted. Pastor will probably pop in with us a little bit later. He's trying to catch up on a little bit or get a little bit more sleep before he has to be on his shift. But I imagine as soon as he has to get up, he'll pop in with us, okay? I want to get this posted. Whoops. On Facebook so that those folks know where to find us. And then we will get started. And just in case we don't get this morning's, Okay, I'll do that after we get going because it's going to cause me an issue. Just in case we don't get it posted in the morning, if you get a chance, go back and watch Thursday morning's session of the Holy Spirit Conference. Wow, it was very, very good. He talked, it actually wasn't Dr. Barclay. Well, he did a little bit of preaching, but Kenny, oh my goodness, what is his last name? Was the one that actually preached the main message, and it was about the things that we allow into our lives, and it really, really is was eye-opening, good message. So if you get a chance, watch that, and possibly we'll play it tomorrow morning too. So anyways, we love you all. We thank you for being with us. We're so happy to have you all with us. We are creating together a powerful team, a powerful force, and building boldness in each and every one of us to go out and change our world. And the cool thing about this community is that we're from all over the place. So when we're bold and are going out and spreading the word in our territory, we are covering some serious territory, not like a town. We're talking cities and actually nations all over. So hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for using us. Work in us and through us in Jesus' name. Okay, so anyways, here we go. I'll quit talking and we'll get us going here. Are we ready? Why is my speaker a weird color here? Here we go.
of this anointing accumulated upon you. Because I'm carving you out of the crowd. I'm
holding you up. Okay, let's try this again. That's why my speaker is some weird color, because it's not actually picking up the conference. It's picking up Phyllis. No, it's okay. It's all right. No, it's my speaker is not hooked up for some reason to my phone. Okay. Now it's making familiar noises. Let me get this over here. Okay, let's try this again.
And just part of the team, and I'm going to use you in my kingdom. I'm going to bless you in this life, and I'm going to use you, and I'm going to use your mouth, and that's what I'm prepping you for now. That's why this anointing is coming on you like it is. You receive it, every ounce of it you can get. You take it upon you in the name of I saw in the spirit, step up there. I saw in the spirit you in your own building. I see it. I saw it clear tonight. Kenny Gatlin preaching in his own building.
Hallelujah.
Not leasing, not renting, your own building. And I claim with you right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, supernatural events are happening, and they're going to manifest. And this isn't going to be like this blood spilt.
Now, Kenny,
I'm in agreement with Kenny Gatlin Ministries, Integrity Christian Center, that they're going to have their own building.
Amen.
People are bringing them money. They're going to be able to do it. In the name of Jesus. I agree with you. I agree with you. It's going to happen. I see it in the spirit. How many other pastors are believing for a building to house your people? Step up here. Make a little room for them. If you're a pastor here and you say, I don't want to rent anymore. I don't want to lease anymore. I need a building to house my congregation. Father, I see this so strong in the spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let these facilities come. May these facilities come to us. I file a book, Shane. I call buildings into our life. May the sinners release them if the sinners have them. May the churches that once met there, but they don't now, instead of cashing these buildings in and getting the money, may they come to us.
Amen.
They were built by God's money. The chairs were paid for by God's money. The sidewalk was paid by God's money. And I call them into our ministries. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it is time, isn't it? It is time that we have our own buildings. So we're not subject to a landlord. We're only subject to the Lord.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. You're moving obstacles out of our way. You're moving obstacles out of our way. I see it. I see it. I see it. Supernatural. I see these preachers in prayer, talking to you, sitting in their offices, and people coming by and say, hey, you wouldn't be interested in a building, would you? I think of, this comes to me, I won't take the time to tell the whole story, but one of my great friends is Bishop Keith Butler. He has a Word of Faith church in Detroit area. And they outgrew their building. And they needed a much larger building. And a church in town had moved out of their building. And it was empty, long story short. A lot of details, of course. The Lord spoke to Keith Butler and said, go over there and tell them that's God's building and you're going to give it to me for my congregation. I think he might have wrestled with that a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah.
But you know, he obeyed God. I preach for Keith. You know, he obeyed God. And you know what happened? That preacher said, okay, you can have the building. I can't remember. It seats like 8,000 people or something. 6,000. I can't remember. The church is really big. And he just said, okay. I mean, there's little details, but they conversed and prayed. Okay. And that's what I'm seeing. That people that don't need their building are going to say, we've shrunk it. I can see this by the Spirit of God. People saying, you know, I don't really have that many people anymore. We're kind of shriveling. And how about we just, you take over the building and I'll come to church here and help you, Pastor. I see that.
Hallelujah.
I don't know which one of you it is, but I see congregational board members. I don't like the term lay people, but you know what I mean. They're not the pastor. And they've lost their pastor. They have the building and a handful or two of people, but they don't know what to do. They don't have a shepherd. I see this in the spirit. And they're going to say, would you come take over our buildings and pastor us? And can we join with your people? Can you do both? And you know what I see you saying? Yes. Yes and amen. Don't need to pray about it. Yes and amen. Hand it over. And I claim in the name of Jesus, even if you have a good landlord, I claim in Jesus' name, we're going to be freed from landlords. We're going to be freed from paying rent. We're going to be freed from leasing and have it always jacking up and messing with us. And we're going to have our own buildings in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's shout and clap all over this building. In the name of Jesus. I'm included. Listen. All of you streaming by television, listen. I'm claiming for you too, you preachers. I'm claiming you can house God's people. Jesus was born in a manger, so we didn't have to live in this. He did. He was supposed to. We're not. So I'm talking even to all of you that are streaming, preachers. We're going to be able to house God's people in these last days and have our own facilities in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. I see it in the Spirit. I do. I saw a glimpse of this. Ileana, when I was preaching for you guys up in your church, and I see it clearly, there are people, there's four of them, they're sitting in like a book-shaped table, like a boardroom table, and they're discussing you guys. And one of them is saying, well, how are we going to do that? And the other one say, well, we got to find out how. And another one is saying, God told me to give them that and help them get that. And so the fourth guy sitting there numb, and God said, I'm going to touch that fourth man. I'm going to touch that fourth man, and this is going to turn into your life. I claim it for you and John and your team in the name of Jesus Christ. Shakela mandola lisa. Shosokona lisa. Sheka mandola mandola. Thank you, Lord. As you do this for us, we commit to you. We will not share our building with the pagans. We will not rent our building to pagans. We will not do anything in our buildings that doesn't bring glory to you. We will pray in our buildings. We will do worship in our buildings. We'll teach the Bible. We'll teach our children. We'll teach our young people. We'll raise up ministries in these buildings. Please. Give us these buildings. Loose these buildings into our faith. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go back to your seats. Write it down. put it on your, in your tablet, put it in your phone, whatever you do, in your notes, and put the date down right now. What's the date today?
February 3rd.
What's the year?
2022.
What time is it? 8 o'clock. Write it down right now. 8 o'clock p.m. on this date, God said he's loosing a building to me. Could be buildings. Could be buildings. If I had time, Chuck, I'd have you come. Your story is pretty powerful. How you? That story of your building, man, it not only came to you supernaturally, but think about this, but the city bought the building he was in. How's that work? Go ahead. And you're in a nice facility now. I got you preaching. I don't know if I did good or not. I haven't been back recently, but you know, I'll be back. It's one of my sons. During worship, I know a lot of people in this church work, but Josh Willis, if you're in here, come forth. Is he around, Josh? He's probably out back working or something. Huh? He's on his way. Is his family here? Tell him to bring whoever's with him. Well, I really felt, I don't know why. I just obey God, you know. That's what you learn to do when you walk with God. I don't have a reason for everything. Praise God. But God said, I want you to lay hands on Josh Willis and his family. So we're going to do that. I know they're next door working, I think. But they'll be here. We're in no hurry. Praise God. Right? I said right? Yeah, we're not. I'm not in a hurry. If you are, see you tomorrow. Thank God we're in his presence. Josh Weiss, both of you come up. A lot of you knew Pastor Ed Weiss, or, and of course Debbie's still with us, but Pastor Ed Weiss is in heaven. This is these are part of his kids. There's like 38 of them. 12 kids and mostly married. That's 24. How many grandkids?
50.
50? Yeah, 50 grandkids. Holy angels in heaven. I felt a chill go through me. I only have a handful, and they almost break me. Yeah, huh? I saw in the spirit the anointing of God coming on both of you, stronger than it ever has before.
Hallelujah.
You've been asking him for it. I saw you in the spirit saying, God, I want to make you proud. I want to make my mama proud. I really want to make my daddy proud. I heard this. Tell me if it's not accurate. I heard this. And I heard you talking to God saying, I want to do this. I'm trying to do this. Lord, I'm not very good at this, but I want to be. And I feel like I'm giving it my best, but I'm not sure the anointing is there to really change people's lives. But it's going to be imparted to you tonight. It's coming on both of you, not one of you, both of you, to lead in the house of God, to help the people of God, and to take you to the next level. In the name, it's going to come on you, get ready. In the name of Jesus, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, this is your day of anointing. You've been ordained, you've been blessed, you've been taught, but tonight the Lord says, this heavy anointing will come on you. And it will show you what to do. And it will show you how to do it. Now just breathe on them now, Lord. That's what I pray. Oh, yeah. Shakalamando. Pray, church. Don't look. Watch. Just pray. And it's for you, too. You're not just a tag-along. You're my choice. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus, bless of Lita Sheke Lamondo Negrasta. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Max. Shelly, come up here and put your hand on her. Just whatever, if you got something to talk to her, if not, just lay hands on her. This is one good lady. She loves God with all of her heart. We're praying, church, right now. We're praying. We're asking God to just flow upon people. So did Josh make it? Willis, come up here. Whenever you get here, come up here. Praise God. What are you doing, Doc? Just obeying God. That's what we come here to do. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise God. Man, we got the family and some hitchhikers off the bus. We love you. We thank God for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. The call of God is upon you. The wisdom of God has been given to you because you've asked me for it, God says. You are a perfect fit for the marketplace. You will continue to reap even the hidden treasures in secret places, because they're not secret to God. Only the devil can't find them. But you're going to find them. But also, the anointing is on you to work in the ministry of Jesus Christ, to be a blessing. You are a blessing. But the Lord said, a fresh anointing to be a blessing. La fosse la mandor te blisse, and more than ever before, to just flow in the things of God, help the church, help the man of God. You'll be alongside your dad until he goes to heaven or until the trumpet blows. It's part of your assignment, and you've done well in it, saith the Lord. But I'm telling you, you're about to reap. You are a reaper. Not everybody's a reaper. We all get to reap a harvest, if you saw. You are an ordained reaper in this earth, and you're going to dig out the treasuries of this earth, and you're going to build, just like in the day of Lot. We're going to be building and buying and selling and building and buying and selling, and you're going to preach the gospel with your money. Let me go down through here. Father, I thank you for the anointing of God on this family. Leba show by the laying on of hands. Thank you. Bless every one of them. Bless them royally. The things you're believing for, the Lord says, the things you're desperately wanting. A couple of them are desperate. Lord, I'm desperate for this. I need this. I want this. That's going to begin to manifest. 2023, things are going to really happen for you. It will not be a dud year. It will be a year of collection and a year of blessing falling upon your life. You're not just a worker in the shadows, the Lord says. You're prime time. And this anointing, as it comes upon your man, will come upon you. And you will obey me. You've always tried to obey me. You will obey me. And you will do not only support him and bless him and encourage him. I put you in his life, and I put him in your life on purpose so you can walk across the earth together. Amen. On purpose, with a purpose. But the anointing is also on you and the ministry in the house of God. Breathe on her, Master, and bless her household, bless her babies, bless her man, la boshi kelana. Are you praying, church? You praying, church? I'm going to bless. I'm going to bless you because you love me so much. I'm going to bless your family because you love me so much. I'm even going to bless those that aren't here tonight. And those that might need a rescuing rope. I know one lassoes people like me. And I will do it and pull them back into your lap, into your bosom, so they can serve your God with you all the way until the trumpet blows. I'm going to honor you and bless you because you love me so much. The world will never have you. The world cannot have you. worldly people, they cannot have you. You will always just keep shaking off those things that are marked in your life, trying to mess with you, mess with your feelings, mess with your head. And the Lord says, you're going to see clearly. You're going to know. You're going to see clearly. And the blessing of God is on your future. You keep chasing me, the Lord says. You keep chasing me, and you watch what I do for you. You chase me, and you watch what I'm going to do for you. In the name of Jesus. See, the Lord says, I do hear your prayer. You come before me, and I choose to answer. You're going to enter in now to a time that you will be closer to God than you've ever been. And this desire to hear his voice and to hear it more, you're going to hear his voice. And you're going to feel his touch. Anybody in here want to feel his touch? I do. Someone said, well, you know, Doc, we're not led by feelings. Who said anything about being led? I want to be hugged. I want to hug God, and I want to feel it when he embraces me.
Amen.
God will do that. You can feel his presence on our lives. Amen. Give this family a good hand clap. Come on. Thank you. I love you. Praise God. God is so good. God is so good. Amen. Let's lift our hands to the King of Glory. We love you tonight, Jesus. We love you tonight. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Sing, Josh. Let's just sing another minute. Let's sing another minute. He's in the house with us, walking up and down the aisles. Jesus. Jesus.
Oh, Lord, heart high above the earth, thou art exalted far above all.
Jesus is in the house with us.
Heart high above all the earth, thou art exalted far above all God. I exalt thee.
Jesus, we love you. Reach out and touch him. He's in the house. He's here. Maddie, come up here. Let me put my hand on you. Father, I thank you for the goodness of God. Before you were ever born, I planned your life for you. And whatever path you were on before, I like the technician who pulls the arm and changes the track that the train is on. So it leaves one set of tracks and it goes down the other. I have done that for you supernaturally. I have directed this the way I wanted it to go. And I'm pleased with you, my daughter, that you have followed that. You have listened to me. And I can tell by how you talk to me, the Lord says, and how you pray, that you are very, very grateful that God has done things in your life. And I tell you, I'm filling you up. I'm filling you up. You're not a half-empty cup. You're going to be a cup that runs over. you're going to influence and inspire a lot of people. I am grooming you for ministry, and I'm going to use you and your mind and your mouth and your big heart to help a lot of people. So you just keep doing it. You're on course. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. And watch me bless you and promote you. Now breathe on her, Master. That's what I pray. Let the breath of God just be all over. Let the breath of God. Jude, put that down. Come up here. Father, I thank you. Satan has done anything he could to stop you, mess with you, kick you off the right path, and yet you refuse. You always, I've watched you all your life. I'm his grandpa. I've watched you all your life. Somehow you jump back on the right path. And I'm blessing you, the Lord says, like this company that called you, one of the most massive companies in the world. And you, and more help's going to come to you than you ever dreamt of. Promotion has come upon you because you chase me and you're humble and you listen to leadership. And you put me first. And so healing's come into your heart. And you can count on it. I got all the right stuff in line for you, everything. So for you to have a fulfilled life and a blessed life, you will always be in the ministry. You will always be in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You will follow my footsteps, and you'll have a partial, you'll have part of my anointing and grace. You'll follow your dad's footsteps. You'll have part of his anointing and grace, but you'll have your own. It's in you. The Lord said, I'm adding it to you right now, tonight at this altar, the things that you need. And you watch where you're going from here. You watch. And you want to pray for him for a minute? Come on. Raise a hand up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on. Pray like you know how. Malachi, come up here, buddy. The Lord just said this to me. The Lord said, I did not cause this last set of happenings that were against you, but I'm going to use it to prep you for ministry. Because if you think you were betrayed by them and deserted by them, and lied about from them, and then nobody that you thought really would stand with you ever stood with you. The Lord said, I didn't do any of that, but I'm going to use it to prepare you to deal with God's people. Amen. Some of, not all of them, some of them will betray you. They will desert you. They're going to lie about you, and when you need them the most, they're not going to stand with you. But you're going to go on and preach the gospel. You'll be a combination of a pastor and a street evangelist. You're going to find yourself in the streets where people are hurting, and you're going to cast. I'm anointing you to cast out demons. I tell you. The Lord said the anointing that was given to me, the part of Lester Summerall's grace to exorcise demons, is now also being passed on to you. So you're going to set a lot of people free. Anoint him for it and bless him in it. That's what I pray in the name. Pray for him now. Come on. This church knows how to pray. You preachers know how to pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I tell you what. All the young people come up here. If you're a teenager, a young adult, I don't know what that means. Pick an age. But if you're here and you want us to put a hand on you, come on up here right now. Come on right now. Josh Barkley, come help me. Yes. Trish, come help me. Oh, La Bosa. Yeah, help me, ushers. Go lay hands on them. So get him in line somewhere. Yes. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you.
Now for everyone of us have done you with children. Grandchildren that need God to move in their lives.
Yes.
the impartation. Sometimes the anointing goes on you, but sometimes it just goes right on the inside of you. God has a plan for your life. All you young people, listen. So does Satan. Satan's already bidding for your life. He's bidding for your soul. That you would say, I love Jesus, but you live for the devil. You live dirty. You live worldly. The devil wants you, but God wants you. I call you forth tonight, and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, from the office of the prophet, I say the devil will not have any of you.
Amen.
You will not serve this world. You are in the house of God,
Amen,
under the anointing of God. I hope under the authority of God, like a preacher, elders, and in Jesus' name, you're going to be used by my God,
yes,
and he's going to just keep blessing you and anointing you to do the work of Jesus Christ,
Amen,
of Nazareth. I almost prophesied to you today when I talked to you. Father, yeah, you're going to serve me well. You are serving, but you're going to serve me well. You're going to know things. You're going to see things, and you're going to be actively involved in ministry. You are now, but not where your future is. Your future, you're going to stand in my kingdom with a holy man and do the work of God and be used of God. You're going to help a lot of people. I see you coming and going from international borders, foreign lands, speaking foreign languages. I know. The Lord says, see, that was me. It's been you. That's been me talking to you. And I've called you to this. You will do it. You will have a good man in your life. And you will go. You'll be sent. And you'll enjoy every minute of it because you're saying, this is my dream. And God knew it. And it's beginning to come to pass. In the name of Jesus. In the name. Let's clap once because the Lord is here. The world will not have you.
Amen.
You belong to Jesus Christ. And no matter what, the world will have nothing to do with you. Nothing. You're going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Somehow. It doesn't matter. It matters that you're in the will of God. Who cares if you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, song leader, missionary, children's church worker. The list goes on. As long as you're actively involved in walking with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I see you in the spirit. You have a very tender heart. And you love your God. You do. And the Lord said, I can use a soft heart to love people. I'm giving you tonight, the Lord said, the gift of shower of mercy. You'll get to study that up. The gift of shower of mercy. And I'm going to fund you to do it. And you're going to clothe people. You're going to help people. You're going to prep people. And that gift is in you. And it won't all manifest like this week. But that gift, there might be other gifts. But that gift is in you. And it's going to manifest. And you're going to help a lot of people. I see it in the spirit. Say it. I serve Jesus. And the world cannot have me. The world's not going to end up with me. I'm going to live clean. Say it. I'm going to live clean. Not dirty. I'm going to walk with God all the days of my life. In the name. I said in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, all I do is obey God. That's it. I learned to obey God. Josh and Tris, start down there and start laying hands on everybody in this line. Both of them grew up in the gospel. They know what it's like to be a teenager, a young adult, believing God for ministry, trying to find your way into the ministry, called by God, maybe preacher. You could be fivefold, and God's trying to get you in that place. We'll let them minister. Josh, sing some more. You guys are doing this right tonight, man. If you're in the line, you just keep talking to God. Touch me, Lord. Talk to me, Lord. Fill me up to overflowing. And they're coming along to lay hands on you. We lay hands on you. for impartation. Shokama dole lista ke la boshana. Oh, thank you for young people. Thank you for teenagers. Thank you for young adults. You're carving them out. Our churches are producing some of the best soldiers that we've produced in a long, long time. The world will never have you. The world cannot have you. The world does not get you. You do not belong to the devil. You do not belong to demonized people. You do not, you're not caught up in the schemes. In the congregation, sing or pray. Sing with Josh or pray. Langonda, young people in the house of God, young people chasing God. These are great soldiers of the king. Soldiers and future soldiers of the king. Thank you. listen to me. Listen. How many of you young adults and teenagers in this line, how many of you, the Lord's already nudging you about world missions? It isn't everybody. I mean, we all care. We either go or send. But it's on me real strong that some of you are already hearing a little bit, or at least a nudge from God. I believe I'm going to be a missionary in some way. Raise your hand at me if that's you. Is there anybody up here? You feeling led that way? Praise God. I thank you, Master.
Yes.
Do you have your hand up because of that? Kenneth, go over there and lay. You're one of the greatest missionaries I know, man. This guy travels the world over. He pastors, but he's always in another country. He's got lands and buildings and missionaries. They sowed almost $500,000 last year to world missions. May the Lord speak clearly, whatever country it is. There's somebody that's by television, you're streaming with us, right, wherever you're at least put one hand towards us right now through the cameras. In the name of Jesus, may your country come clear. May you hear clearly. May your church leadership hear clearly. So you don't just run all over the place and spend a lot of time, effort, help, strength, and money. May you hear clearly. May you hear clearly. We claim that for you in Jesus. Now, I don't want to miss anybody. Is there anybody else in the line here? You're feeling something about world missions. You don't have to. Not pulling. I just want to make sure we got it covered. Amen. The Lord spoke to the one young lady, this young man right here. Now, you say, well, you know, Doc, I don't know about world missions, but I'm feeling a tug maybe to be a Bible teacher or a fivefold ministry, future pastor, evangelist. If that's you, wave at me. I don't want you to sit down until I got things covered. All right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. John George, come up here, Rev. John is a dear friend. He's a great preacher, man. And he's dealt with young people all of his life. One of the greatest ministries. Lay hands on her right here. She feels there's something in her about future ministry. Praise God. Anybody else you feel called to the ministry, actual ministry? All right. I'll tell you what. If that's you, step forward enough where I can separate you from everyone else. Just step forward if you're feeling like, yeah, I think God's dealing with me. You don't know what it is yet, probably, but God knows. God knows what it is. Someone over here, Jeremy, lay hands on these that have stepped forward. And then, come on, I should, yeah, thank you. Kashoke Lamando Lama. Fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry. It might be youth leadership. It might be evangelism. You know, it's not just all I'm going to pastor a church. But you'll know if God tugs on your heart, and he might later. He might be now. And we're not ordaining you to go do it right here, John. In the name of Jesus, by the laying on of hands, separate them, show them what they're called to be, and whether they see that or hear that, may they prep themselves in the name of Jesus. May they prepare themselves for future ministry. Show Kyla Montale. David, you've been with young, you're a teacher, man. Lay hands on these over here that have stepped forward. Pastor Flores, been around young people all his life. He's a school teacher. Great preacher, great pastor. We lay hands on you to anoint you for future ministry. Now, if you didn't step forward, you can go ahead and go back to your seat. Give all these young people a good hand. Come on, clap real good. Young people in the house of God. The reason Go ahead and be seated. I'll talk to you for a minute. When I left, when I left my hotel room this evening, I said, Lord, I don't have the slightest idea what you want to do. Now, listen, I have preached since the 1970s. Honestly, I have thousands, not exaggerating, of sermons. I don't have to stay up all night to figure out something to say. I might stay up all night making sure it's what the Lord wants me to say, but I'm not lost for something to say. I left the whole, I usually get a glimpse. I say, Lord, at least give me a glimpse. What are you going to do? But this was one of those nights that I left the hotel. I had no idea what you wanted me to preach, teach, what are you going to do tonight, you know? And this morning, I know all of you couldn't have been here. This morning, for just a few minutes, I talked about what praise and worship is for and what it's all about. And we gave those biblical reasons. And one of the greatest ones was to prep the house and the atmosphere for the preacher. The pastor, even the prophet of God, which is more what I flow in most of the time. And that's what happened in here tonight. And as you begin to worship God, I'll show you something. Sing that song again, Josh, and watch the anointing come in this house. Go ahead. I exalt thee. You can join in. Watch, the wave's going to come back in here. I can feel it great. I'm serious. I'm not being spooky. He's in the house. We're exalting him, not us.
Thou art exalted far above all
God.
Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God.
Oh, la masakata.
I exalt.
You see, you feel that? That's God's anointing. There are people by stream and television feeling this anointing right now. Be seated now. Could you feel it? It's more than a good song. And as you slowly got your mind off from your warfare, your struggles, your troubles, your pressures, your prejudices, your hurts, your disappointments, and as we came in here and we began to worship the King of Glory, those things lifted and God began to speak to me in the prophet's office of what we were to do in here tonight. You might not have got a personal word tonight. Others did. But you could have got one sitting there. It's the Holy Spirit in the house, not just Mark Bartlett. This anointing, listen, a lot of people are being broken down. And I want you to hear this. The demons are not growing more ferocious. There's no demon growth. They're fallen angels. They're already built. They're not growing worse. That's not how this works. They've been defrocked by God, and they roam the earth. And the reason it seems more wicked, and the reason it kind of feels more dirty, and the reason they seem to get away with more is not because they're more ferocious, it's because many Christians are weaker, weaker, and less attentive to the you know, the weapons of our warfare. Yeah. And our spiritual immune system's being broken down. I don't want to get weird about it, but you got to understand there are spiritual enemies and diseases, not just natural ones. There's enemies to your body. There's enemies to your soul. There's enemies to your spirit. There's enemies in the natural, and there's enemies in the supernatural. What if we don't pay attention to them? We come in here like this. You don't have to be a Bible expert yet. You get in this atmosphere where the believers are flowing in the anointing. The worship team's flowing in the anointing. The prophet of God could be your pastor. The prophet of God is flowing in the anointing. People's lives are changed. Some change happened for you and me tonight, whether you got a personal word or not, you watch. Unless you just go out and pick up your argument in your car where you left off. Now, if your idea is I got to get out of here and drink my beer and smoke a cigarette, you may, no offense, I don't mean to condemn you, but you probably won't get as much or keep it as long as the person on the drive home tonight says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this is going to stay with me.
Amen.
This is sticking with me. I'm not losing it. And that's how this has to work. I believe that God is really dealing even with prodigals, part-timers, church skippers. I believe he is, because he wants you to make it. Now, God wants the church full. Yeah, listen, just the one teaching he had about the banquet hall wasn't full. He said, or he said to his servants, did you invite them? Yes. Where are they? They made excuse. Well, okay, we'll forget them. Go into this group of people. It went from invite to go get to compel. We're in compel right now. It'll do you a little good to invite people to church. It'll do you a little good, but it'll do you a little good. And you can invite everybody you want to. How's that working for you? They're not interested in church. You have to compel them. You can't go get them. Some people, so we're not saying absolute, but listen, there are people, you can offer them a free ride to church and I'll buy you pie and coffee after church. And they still won't get in your car. But if you compel them with the power of God,
yes,
not the flesh, you can't bully people to serve God. But if God helps you, and you have this compelling force called the Holy Spirit, they will follow you. They'll follow you. During Christmas, I was preaching around the country, but I was preaching about how the bright star led the shepherds, wise men, you know, the king. That was that bright star that led them. And where did the star stop? Right over Jesus Christ. And you're that bright star. They're never going to come to Jesus Christ probably if they can't follow the way you live. You got to live right. Or listen, would you listen to a former sinner? Think about this. I never went to church ever one time get married. Never went to church. How do I know what a hypocrite is? But you know what I called you? Hypocrites. Why? Where did I learn that at? I don't think in any classes I ever took, literature, English, science, math, that they ever used the word hypocrite. I didn't learn it at school. But isn't it weird that as a sinner, I thought that's what you were? Now, why did I think that? I'm going to tell you why. Because every sinner knows that you are supposed to be better than us.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that as a sinner with no Sunday school, I knew you were supposed to be better than me.
Mm-hmm.
You're a churchgoer. You should be better than me. You should, you're beating the world. The world's beaten me in those days. But I look at you, the church, and you were beating the world. The world was beating me up. You were beating up the world. That's how it's supposed to be. And when I first got born again, when I come home from the war, I went to church. And I had so much hope in my heart that you weren't fake. Because if you were fake, I knew I had no hope to be delivered. Just because you're born again. I was born again. I'll swear in a stack of Bibles, you know. There's no doubt I met Jesus Christ, but no one made a disciple out of me. So when I went to my first church, don't do this. You're smarter than me. It was a little church over here. Stephen knew about it. About this, when it was in full grown, it's about the size of this one session. I so much hoped. I told Vicki, I said, Vicki, do you think maybe that this is it for me, that I'll finally get free from alcohol and cigarettes and hurting people? You think this might be it? This could be it for us. See, there's a difference from Christians who want to be dirty, worldly, and keep their junk, and those of us who hate it all and half hate yourself and want it gone. That was me. So don't do this. I thought, if it's true that this church is living for God, they're better than me. That means they don't cuss like me. They don't smoke like me. They don't drink beer and booze and like me. They don't fight like me. They're not like me. They don't have an attitude like me. They're God's people. And my whole hope was, I hope they're not fake. And so, don't do this part, I stalk you. Hey, a good Marine, man, we can camouflage so well, we can look like a brush, your front door, or your mother-in-law. No, the Marine said, hoorah. I didn't stalk. When I say stalk, I mean I follow people home from church. I tell Vicki, we're going to be first one out the door, get in the car. What are we doing? I'm going to, I kept a list. Church is small. I said, we haven't followed this family home yet to see if they're going to stop at 7-Eleven and get cigarettes and booze. Now, here's why. Not judging them. I know Mark Barclay. And I kept saying to myself, if they're cheaters, smokers, drinkers, liars, scrappers, fighters, if they hate like I used to hate, I told Vicki, we don't need any friends like that. We have plenty of them. And they're not helping us at all. So I followed people home. And I checked off the checklist. No, they're real Christians. That's what I want to be. But I had this weird feeling that, are they faking it? Will I find out this could be my chance to get free? I'm serious. I was desperate to be free. And, I tell Vicki, I hope there's no cheaters. Because I know me. If there was, if an elder or especially a preacher or a leader was caught doing those things, you know how Mark Barclay was in those days? I would have said, well, there you go. There's no hope for me. They go to church and they can't beat it. So I followed, I kept a record. Now, after about 6 trips, Vicki ditched me. She said, I'll ride to church with you, but after church, would you put on your camo and your uniform and you start, I'm not doing that anymore with you. You are on your own. I'll fetch my ride home. Yeah, over here, nothing else can do. I beat one guy home, his family, and I didn't know he was coming that quick. And he pulled in the drive, do not do this. You're smarter than me. And so I had to hide behind a bush, right by his garage door, and he pulled up, and I'm thinking, oh my, I'm gonna get busted. And some of you knew maybe Billy Falling. He was not the kind of guy that you'd want to face to explain why you're stalking somebody in the church and you got caught hiding behind a bush by his house. So all I could think of, dancing Cherokee eyes, Falling, and you know, that guy got out of the car, his kids ran by me, and then he went around the front. He bumped into me. He literally bumped into me in the bush. Because a good Marine can almost grow leaves. You know, I mean, I'm not just standing there. I'm entangled, man. It's camel time. This could be the end of my life if Falling finds out I'm here. He literally bumped into me. He stopped once and looked around and looked a little bit at the bush. I'm in it, but he looked a bit at the bush, and he went inside. Never drank. I didn't window peek like in bedrooms and all that, but I did living rooms. Hey, it's called recon. Everybody say recon. Yeah, I had to reconnoiter. Look in the kitchen. Are they popping tops? Are they drinking wine? Are they drinking? Not because I'm judging them, because I hope to God this might be my time to get free. Please, Lord, I hope they're not fakes. I got all the way through the little ranks, this small church, and I didn't catch anybody doing the things that I wanted to get delivered from. My hope went way up. It really did. And I would tell Vicki, this is it, Vicki. This church is going to get me free. Now, she's known me since I was 13, Vicki. And she said, I hope so, Mark. I can tell you want to be. And the Lord said, there's one person you haven't asked yet. That was Pastor Falling. I didn't ask him if he drank, smoked, cussed. I said, well, that's the pastor. He said, go over to his house right now. So I did. Rang the doorbell. Oh, he opened the door. He said, Mark, what are you doing here? I said, well, Pastor, I'm learning that this church doesn't drink. He goes, we don't drink. We're Christians. What are you talking about? You know, are you talking about booze? No, I'm a drinker. I'm thinking, what am I here about? Pepsi Cola? Lemonade? I found out, Pastor, nobody in this church drinks that I could find. He goes, well, how do you know that? I said, I think that should be a conversation for another day. But I want to ask you a question, Pastor. Do you drink? He goes, Mark, I don't drink. These men in this church don't drink. We've all, maybe we did. We're God's people. We leave those things behind. We don't play with them and... I said, well, I know you don't smoke because you don't smell like it. So when you get mad at Miss Betty, that was his way, do you cuss at her? He goes, Mark, I don't cuss. Get this straight, man. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't cuss. I don't cheat. He goes, oh, I said, okay. I said, well, I guess there's nobody then in this church that still drinks, smokes, and cuss. And he goes, well, there's one. And he looked right at me. He said, well, that's one. And then he put both hands like this and he said, but if you'll stay with us, Mark, we'll get you free. Amen. We know how to get people free. That's the power of helping your pastor preach the gospel when it's not all about you. It's the power of living clean. So nuts like me that might stalk you, you don't have a dirty reputation to discourage me, to think there's no freedom for me because you're a fake.
Wow.
That's why we live clean. That's why we need this kind of anointing, this kind of singing, this kind of worship in our churches. Because there's men like me. I'm going to stop in a minute. I'm just exhorting you. But I get asked this question all the time. You know, I think they think I'm 95 or something. I'm 70. I give you that. But people say, Brother Barclay, even some of my sons and daughter preachers in the faith, Brother Barclay, why don't you just take it easy? Why are you working every day? You're not poor. You got books. You got royalties on books. You got a massive telecast. You pastor. This guy just told me this. I was preaching for Brother Copeland at the deal. And this preacher said, you oversee like 1,200 ministries. Why don't you just stay home and take it easy a little bit? I said, I'm going to answer that for you. Because I go to sleep and I wake up and I go on meetings night and day, day and night, anywhere I can go. Because there might be a Mark Barclay, an idiot. He's stupid. He knows nothing. He's bound by whatever substance. And what if that guy's out there and I don't go? Somebody was out there for me.
That's right.
I didn't buy my chair. I sat in the first time in church. Someone else bought that chair.
That's right.
Someone went before me. And I just told this preacher friend, I said, I will go until the day I die out of gratitude.
Yeah.
I'm grateful. It wasn't you. And it wasn't your pastor. But it was people just like you and a preacher like that that fixed Mark Barclay, that cast demons away from me. I don't really think I was demon-possessed, but it was close. I'm serious. I lived in darkness. I hated it. And it was people just like you that said, we can fix you, Mark. Others in here. Brother Falling said to me, now he's in heaven now, but and he did some other things, and he wasn't in the ministry for a while. You know, he got into some political things and stuff instead. And Brother Falling said, now, Mark, you know, there's other people in this church that were as bad as you are. And they were, and they got free. This church knows how to get men free. I said, well, Pastor, I'm a candidate. And my weakness is that if any of you are fake, I can't live with that.
Right.
That'll drive me. I'll have to go find somewhere else where they're not fakes. Because I got to be free. And people still drinking can't get drunk people free. You're not going to get me free from smoking by offering me a Marlboro.
Yep.
Marlboro man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like you gossipers are bound because you gossip with gossipers. You'll never get free. Gossipers can't set you free. Their mouth is filled with slander and poison. Okay. That went over really big. I thought I could slide that in there. I'll tell you one more story. Can I tell you one more story? Are you sure it's 9 o'clock?
All right.
I came out of church one night, and I remember, I'm a baby Christian. I come out of church, and pastor was standing outside the door. And this guy was just railing him, man. He was yelling at pastor and calling him names. So I nailed him. I just cold cocked him. Down he went. I jumped. He went right down the cement stairs. I ran. I just flew and jumped on him. And I was going to nail him again because that's what backslidden idiotic people do. And I was going to nail him again. And I went to go like this. And about four guys had my arm. And I yelled, I can do it left-handed. I'm not proud of that. When I kind of come to, I felt that big. You ever feel little?
Yeah.
I felt so little. I felt little just being around you people. You were so far advanced people. I always felt little, like I didn't qualify. I'm not good enough. I know I got problems. And so I hit him hard, man. I broke his nose. And pastor, of course, he worked on, we don't do this, Mark. I said, well, he limped off to you. We don't put up with that in the Marine Corps. lip off to the officer. If he don't deal with you, we'll see you at night time. We don't have to tuck you in. Count on it. So I said, Pastor. He goes, Mark, I command you in Jesus' name to never hit another person. And especially in this church. Do you understand? I felt this little, I realized what I did. This guy, he's mouthy. There's a part of Mark Barkley that said he deserved it. I should have swung harder. Treat a man of God like that. But the other part of Mark Barkley said, you idiot. What are you blowing your only chance to get fixed? They're going to throw you out of here. They're not going to let you do this in a church. And it condemned me. I know condemnation as well as anybody in this room. So I went home. I sat on my bed in my apartment over here. Or over there, that's for you. I went home, sat on my bed. I did what I always did. Poured a little bit of Johnny Walker scotch, got my Bible out. Because see, you're not fixed yet. Now, some of you do that. And you've been a Christian 20 years. See me after church. I still know how to roll up my sleeves. We know how to tuck you in. We know how to say night-night. So I told Vicki, I said, Vicki, I want to be free. I can't get free. I'm going back to the base. I can't go to church. These people don't want me. Look what I did today, for example. I don't fit these people. These people, Vicki, are good people. These are like God's people. And you're good enough, honey. You go to church. I don't fit. I'm just going to go back to the base and I'm going to be done with it. And the phone rang. Now, that's before, you know, the cell phone thing. The phone rang, so I ran over and got it. You know who it was? The guy I clubbed. So he said, Mark, I called to tell you I forgive you. Now, this is going to sound stupid to you, but it's how dumb I was. Vicky said, who is that? I said, it's a guy I clubbed, and he just said something to me, and I think he wants to fight. Vicki said, well, what did he say? He said he forgives me. It's like, does he want to come over here? I'll show him whatever forgive me is. I'm sorry, I was that dumb. Some of you are brilliant, I wasn't. And he said, Mark, I don't want to fight. He heard over the phone, I don't want to fight. That means, he goes, let me put it this way. Church is at 6. I'm going to pick you up about 5:15, and we're going to church together. I said, no. I'm going back to the base. I don't fit this. All I'm doing is hurting people. I'm an embarrassment to pastor. And look what I hit you so hard this morning. You got a broken nose. You bled all over the steps of the church. I don't belong here, man. He said, I'll be there at 5:15, and I'm picking you up, and we're going to church together. I just hung up. I thought, I'll be at the base by 5:15. And you know he come about 5 minutes early, and I couldn't escape. And he said, Mark, you're going to church with me. And we did. And the church had already started. He said, you know what? We need to go in a little late because of what you did this morning. We don't need any interviews. The church will interview you. The witches in the church, that was his term. The church witches are going to, when you come in the door, mamas are going to run with their babies and hide in the back room. So we'll go in during worship. And you know we did. They were seated. That church we normally set to sing. And as we come in, and I walk past Rose with this man I beat, people begin to clap and stand up when they saw us both coming together until the whole church was standing on their feet. And I said to this guy, I said, You're really loved here. He goes, Mark, there's not a clap there for me. They're clapping for you. Because they know if you're here with me, they're going to get you free. So I stayed, let me just finish another couple minutes. So I stayed in the church. And I'm glad I did. And that next week, the head elder, I still don't remember his name all these years later. The head elder of that church said, we want to come see you. So I'm thinking, well, okay. I'm thinking, this is it. They're going to throw me out. I did. I wouldn't blame them. I wouldn't have blamed them at all. And so they rang my doorbell. And there was four of them. And they come in. And I'm sitting in the chair. And I got up. And they said, no, sit down. Those elders, four of them, they sat on the carpet around my chair. And they said, Mark, if you don't leave us, we'll get you free. And we're going to fast and pray. Now, I want you to hear this. We're going to fast and pray until we get our power back. We've been powerless, or we'd had you freed by now. Other people in that church, they're not worse than you. We got them free. They dumped alcohol, cigarettes, rage. And you've been going these weeks. And you're not free of anything. And we feel like you're going to leave us. But if you'll stay, I'm the guy that feels like this big, and the word is repent. I didn't know all that then. I'm the guy repenting and just saying, I don't want to hurt the church no more. And they're sitting there on the floor, the elders, saying, we repent for being powerless. It's our fault, Mark, that you're still bound. You've been chasing God, we know you want to be free. We know you're not free, but we know you want to be, and we have failed you. Where did our power go? We've come to repent to you, elders, and ask you, if you stay in this church and not give up on us, we're going to get you free, no matter what it takes. And I said, well, I want to be free. I've never been free my whole life. I want to be free. And so I stayed in the church. Little Faith Center over here. And those elders got me free. They did. It took the whole congregation. Did you hear what I said? It wasn't just a pastor. And it wasn't just four elders. It took the whole congregation to pray for me, to believe in me. And you know, good, holy women don't mess around with you. Now, the cheater women, but the holy women, they would come right up to me and say, now you listen here. Sometimes I was in my uniforms. I worked back gate there. And I'd be in my uniform when I went to church. Someone called me sergeant. They don't even know my rank. They, I don't know. I guess they watch Sergeant Bilko or something. I don't know. And they would say, now you listen to me. Women in the church, now you listen. We know you're drinking. We know you're drinking. You're probably drunk, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. I never been a liar. I said, yes, ma'am. I'm drinking. I don't want to. Well, don't you leave this church. We're going to get you free. One woman said, she come up and bumped me once. She goes, there's going to be a day, son, that I don't smell booze on you when I say hello at church. Now, don't you leave here. She took the whole church. It took them all. And they got Mark Barclay free. That's why I can't stop. I'm not going to stop.
Thank you.
Because there's somebody just like me, I think, in every congregation, every telecast, every book I've ever written, every foreign country I've ever preached in. And I'm a grateful disciple. And Bill Falling told me, he said, you listen to me. I'm an expert, perfect disciple maker. If I make a disciple out of you, it's going to last you your lifetime. And then he pointed at the door of his office. He says, you see that door? Yes, sir. I'm not going to mess around with you. I don't have any spare time for you. If you're going to quit, run and pretend. Hit the door. Now, you can come, you and Vicki, you can come to church here. Attend all you want. But I'm investing nothing extra in you. But if you want to be a disciple, you met the man that can make you a disciple. I can. And he said, I'm an expert. I said, well, Pastor, that's what I want. You cannot offend me. Give it your best shot. Because I'm going to get free, and then you're going to be proud of me, and the church is going to accept me, and I'm not going to feel like this anymore. I'm going to feel like this. I'm going to be part of you. And he did. And that was 1975 or 6 or something. And I've never turned back. And here I am all these years later. I don't just talk a big story. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. How about you? Aren't you grateful? Lift your hand and thank God for every pastor, every preacher, and every church that's ever helped you be a man or woman of God. That's what I'm saying tonight. I love you, and I thank you, Lord. Thank you that you could save a guy like Mark Barclay. Thank you that you could fix a guy like Mark Barclay. Thank you that you could use a guy like Mark Barclay. And thank you that now you can use me to help other people be the greatest disciple they could possibly be. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you're here right now, or by, you know, the television stream, if you're here right now and you say, I've got issues, Doc. It's haunted me. When you said you feel so little, that's me sometimes. I need to be free. I need to be delivered. Now listen, I'm not going to call you forward. I could, it'd be okay, but I'm not going to. But I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads a minute and close their eyes. Because you see, the sanctuary is a living room, not a private room. And when we say, please bow your heads and close your eyes and not look around, it's our opportunity for you to be helped by the preacher and have a private moment with him and Jesus Christ, even though we're in a lot of people. If you say tonight, Lord, he's talking about me. I got to get this stuff out of my life. No Holy Ghost interviews, but if that's you, lift your hand up. Father, you know every hand going up right now. You know what they're dealing with. You know what's haunting them. You know what's making them feel little, belittled, dirty, bound. You know what practice it is. And I ask you to take a special look at all of us, but a very special look at these who have responded to you. They're lifting their hand to you, not me. That you would look at that and bring the delivering power of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, to break whatever this is, hurt, unforgiveness, belligerence, flesh, substance abuse, whatever it is. May they be set free from it. Now, everybody raise their hands. Everybody, everybody. Lord, set us all free and help us to beat the flesh and walk in the Spirit of God. La bosse, la mine. Want to pray in the Spirit? Let's do it. Come on. La bosse, la mine. Lama, tocolita, pandolus, papasike, tele mahata, la bosse. Loma, dola bosse, pede lego sota. Lema, shakedo, lifa, semendo, la bosse. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give Pastor Kenneth Harbaum's going to talk to you for a minute. Give him a good hand clap. I love you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. My God, wasn't that powerful? That's worth the price of admission right there. That's powerful. Father, we just thank you. Oh, my God, your presence is so strong right now. Oh, Jesus. Oh, you're so good. Jesus, you're so good. Holy Spirit, you're so good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Just honor him a minute. I can't even move for a second here. Oh, Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Your delivering power. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We'll never have church as usual again. Never. Never. Oh, my God, I thank you for this man that some call Dr. Barclay, some call just Doc, some call Dad, Pastor. But what we have is a true man of God that you've raised up for a time like this.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you, Father. My God, refresh, provide, use him like he's never have. Up to this 70 years, God, I thank you that the years ahead will be anything beyond that he's ever imagined, that heaven has concealed for him. God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Let
me believe that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. You know, we get to do something tonight that I think is just as holy as this atmosphere. I really do. God used you and used the people streaming to take care of the largest budget I ever heard of any conference I've ever been with him. And it was done without any pressure, without any strain, and with anybody feeling like they were obligated. It was pure. God operates out of pureness. And you got a chance to operate the same way out of pureness. And we're going to receive an offering for Pastor. I call him Pastor. He is. To you, he just, you know, maybe Dr. Barclay. But he's a man of God. He's a prophet of God. And there's something about this that remains holy. I said yesterday morning that hearing and doing, continue doing, that's what brings revelation. And I believe when people understand pure heart, even though we wouldn't even maybe call this an honor offering, but it is honor. It is honor. We can't do what he's done. It is honor. Sunday at church, I ministered in, I won't even read, I'll just tell you, I've had people ask me, especially overseas, and they say things like, well, you know, the Bible's true. Those who have just keep getting, and those who have not, they just don't have. So I thought, I'm going to deal with some of this. You know that whole parable is about the sower? The word of God. It's all about the word of God. See, that whole parable is really not about the ground. The subject is God's word. The objective is how that word works in your life. Some 30, some 60, some 100. That's the objective. That whole thing, even when he talks about the lamp, you know, a lamp be put under a table and all that, he hasn't changed the subject. It's still the word. And you know what he's talking about? That word producing before the enemy steals it. Because he said when the word is sown, immediately, the enemy's going to come and steal it. But you know what that word's got to do? It's got to be solidified. It's got to take root. And you know, then he says, they which have, you know what he's talking about? They which have the revelation of what that word does, it won't be taken away. They which get that revelation, it won't be taken away. I think what's happened to us Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, I decree Satan will never steal this from you.
Amen.
But you've got to be a doer and not just a hearer of this.
Amen.
Hearing, have you heard anything?
Yeah.
Plus doing is what brings you into this realm. A revelation. Once you get revelation, more shall be given. That's what brings the more. If you turn a deaf ear, it shall be taken away. I think God wants to set you up for more shall be given. Amen. Tonight, the usher is going to help me. If you'd like to have an envelope or write a note on it, I'll give you a minute. You can write down, pull the tip of it off. Matter of fact, I didn't have a chance today to go get a regular card, Hallmark. You know, Hallmark is no more anointed than what I wrote down inside here. You know why I did it? Because if you get a Hallmark card, you got to give him what they say. But I wrote something down from my heart. Now, this is not to Mark Barclay Ministry. This is the right here you go. This is a personal offering to Mark Barclay, Mark T. Barclay. So this is to him. And I believe the man is worthy. You know, even the centurion, you know when the guys, the servants of the centurion, they came to Jesus and said, he's worthy for you to come and do this. He loves our nation. He built us a synagogue. They even said that man was worthy. If the centurion was worthy just because he loved the nation and built a synagogue, this man is worthy because he's given his life for the kingdom of God to serve and to take people like you and I from where we were to the next dimension. Amen. That's why we do it. But it's not just for him. This is a revelation in our heart. Because some of you, God's trying to set some of us up that we can start reaping some of the same rewards. And that's the way it is. Amen. I'm thankful that God gives us an opportunity that he can develop us. That he can develop us. Amen. Amen. So just get it right. Write something down. They'll put some baskets up here. So the ushers will get baskets up here. And man, I'm telling you what, after what he did, this is one of the greatest heartfelt atmospheres to bless this holy man. I mean it. God spoke to me, 2023 is going to be the year of more.
Yeah, amen.
And what I got in my hand, you know what it set me up for? More. More. Oh, my God, more. Oh, there's a holiness in this room. There's a holiness in this room. Amen. Amen. Everybody got an envelope that wants one? I want you to stand. Let's not even sit down on this because I just want to lift our hands and thank God. This is not just an offering. This is something beyond. This is God setting you up. This is an atmosphere for God setting you up. God, thank you for our man of God, and thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity that we can. The enemy will never steal affliction, persecution, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in. They will not steal from us ever again. We stand
Amen.
In your word with love and honor and to lift the hands of this man of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So if you got any more questions, just look right there. But let's stay together. Pastor, we love you. Thank you for what you did tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, let's go.
Thank you. Father, we thank you for what you've done tonight, what you're going to do for the rest of this conference tomorrow, God. It's not over. Jesus, as we have honored the man of God, you said to sow to a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. And God, we're standing on your promises that you're faithful and true. Tonight, God, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Hey, don't forget, if you had prayer cloths, these have been prayed for. There's even a few, I may have slipped a bundle in there for those of you that forgot to put one. So don't steal someone else's. Take yours. Tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m., tomorrow night at 6:15 for prayer, and then 7 p.m. Preachers, in just a moment, when we dismiss, if you're a senior preacher, we're going to do a fellowship. I think it would, all right, next door, but I think it would only be right to leave here shouting and praising. Is that all right? So I'm going to turn it over to them, and you'll be dismissed. But as you're on your way out, let's just give God one more good shout unto God. Amen.
Let me just end it. What a night, I guess. Wow, the anointing was beautiful.
What a night. I just like to get my blue hat on. There, can you see my blue
hat? We do see your blue dot.
That's how you know that I'm just not talking to you from heaven or somewhere. So let's talk about the conference first. We're up this afternoon. I was a part of the Friday morning service. And wow, the guy that preaches the Friday morning service, if we haven't already been able to play it tonight, out of the park. So somewhere I want us to point out, I want us to study that message. And tomorrow night we'll have the final program of the Holy Spirit Conference. Of course, if you want to go study it, enjoy it, between now and then, feel free. Tomorrow night we will play that. And I was checking some of it out. It's going on right now. I actually honored Dr. Barkley for his military service in the program.
Wow. That's awesome.
So you want to make sure you're here for that. No matter who you are, so some kind of seed, like Brother Kenneth von Harbaugh's office, that honor's always connected to money. And money's always connected to honor. And I know Dr. Mark D. Barkley. This is the most generous, benevolent man you will ever meet. He never touches a penny of the church's money. He's a very wealthy man with his own investments and different things that he's done. He built a hot rod like nobody else and has made a lot of money. Organization. So there's a lot to this man, but anyways, no matter what the line, confused, delirious, demon oppressed. how the kingdom works. But we'll talk about that at another night. I encourage you. This is good ground. And your life will change. Second Chronicles 20:20. If you believe the Lord your God, will be established. Now you cannot operate outside of this principle. It just doesn't work. You don't operate outside of the principles of the Bible and expect the Bible to come to pass. That verse says, believe in the Lord your God, you'll be established. Believe his prophet, and you will prosper. You really want to see yourself prosper. So, into the places financially that the Holy Spirit tells you to go into. Now, tonight I'm talking about Dr. Varga. I am not trying to get you to become a monthly partner with him. We just have enjoyed the ministry this week. So that it's right that we would sow into his ministry at least once this week. And it'll be a blessing to you. And back and listen to Wednesday morning's message from Brother Kenneth Harbaum, half hour long. He did an amazing, supernatural job of painting the picture of honor and sowing seed. And so glory be to God. We welcome you to be a part of that. Now, what time is it? Well, I've lost all track of time.
It is 10 minutes after 10 here.
10 minutes after 10. Wow, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do now?
Probably communion.
I have had a very full last 2 hours. Oh, that's about it. I'll tell you what just happened.
All right.
Now you guys know I bought a semi and walking down this path with God. The trucking business here. It didn't look like that was going to work, and I declared it still going to work, but it hasn't manifested yet. But I'm sitting in this parking lot over here, and obedience to the Holy Spirit is a part there. And a guy comes in, really nice truck, trailer, parked next to me. So the Holy Spirit said, go over and talk to him. I'm like, hey, dude, you like too much to do. Is that a good run? Yeah, it's a good run. Good people. Good company. He gave me contact information. And I said, God bless you, man. So, 2 hours today. And sat about 4 hours of that. Just sitting. And, right when the program's getting ready to start, I had to drive to a new location, pick up the load, and I know I'm going to get about an hour and a half of sleep. Program's going to start. Holy Spirit told me I was going to be alone. I need to stay awake. So I slept my hour and 45 minutes, and program started. And truck comes in, and he's delivering where I'm picking up. And then it just starts coming toward me. I don't have a load yet, and the Holy Spirit said, you're about to get a load, but follow that truck to the gas station. I don't know it's going to the gas station. How do I know that? But you listen to the Holy Spirit. So he drove by, gave him a little bit of room so he don't think I'm
stalking you.
And thank God. Yeah. And sure enough, I pulled up. I'm like, well, I gotta go talk to him. So I just went walking over there to the truck and knocked on the door, and he was doing his paperwork. And he shut the truck off. And I'm like, how's it going, man? It's going awesome. I'm like,
Wow, I love that. Wow.
Princes in prisons and churches.
Wow.
I found him in a semi truck just like me.
Isn't that awesome?
Now, guys, I wanted to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Believe him that we're going to help.
Amen. Amen.
Speak on that day, and he's going to smile. I'm just going to say, well done, my beloved brother or sister. And that's going to make your name. The greatest words you ever heard of all of this is that you said, well done. Well done.
I told everyone what a powerful. Are you talking about the session we listened to this morning?
Friday morning session.
I had told everyone maybe.
I think let's do that Sunday morning for our 1 hour
of faith. Oh, okay.
All right. That way everybody has their Saturday morning tomorrow. And then tomorrow night we'll do.
No, not that I've seen. In the name of Jesus. Love you too. All right. So we are going to receive our communion elements. Let me turn my camera back on here so you're not just listening to the blackness there. Well, we did see Pastor's blue dot, so that was a little bit of light. Anyways, here we go. We want to receive our communion elements together. If there is anyone here that's not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we will first, right now, pray the prayer of salvation to make sure you are right with God and free to receive the communion elements with us. So we're going to say this prayer together. Say this from the depths of your heart and receive Jesus into your life. and watch how he transforms your life in ways you never even imagined, starting with your heart and your mind. You'll begin to think differently and see things from a whole different perspective, and what a beautiful thing it is. And then after that, anyone that hasn't gotten your communion elements together, grab your grape juice and a cracker or a piece of bread or anything that you have that sort of resembles that for now, if you don't have those in your house. But as a general rule, you want to keep those in your home to do communion with. We want to do this as closely as we can to what Jesus represented the communion elements as. So you can grab those, and what we'll do, we'll say this prayer, and then we'll read the verses of scripture out of the Bible that pertain to communion. We'll bless and sanctify our elements, and then we'll receive the communion together. We'll say a prayer that is out of the Bible. Each verse is out of the Bible pertaining to the communion. And here we go. Repeat this with me, and as I said, say this from the depths of your heart. Father God, I know I need you in my life every day.
Father God, I know I need you in my life every day.
According to John 3:16, when I believe in you, Jesus.
According to John 3:16, when I believe in you,
that you are the Son of God.
That you are the Son of God.
In John 1:12. When I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior.
When I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior.
I become a child of God. I believe in and receive you into my life right now, Jesus. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Live your life in me and through me. Now I believe I am saved.
Born again,
and a child of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we believe you are born again and saved and a newborn child of God. Welcome to the family of God. If you have any questions about what that means, how to live your new life, please call us, contact us. Pastor's email is HG, as in Holy Ghost, preacherman@gmail.com. You can find us on our website. His website is samueljcottle.com. You can go there and find our information. And we are on this program. We're here twice a day, Monday through Friday. We're here Saturday evenings and Sunday at noon for an hour of faith, teaching, and communion afterwards. And we'd love to have you join us. So please get in contact with us. Pastor, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your story. We'd love to answer any questions you have about what to do next. All right? So here I'm going to read the verses out of the Bible, the communion verses that explain the communion, talk about it. And it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We start on verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, or his redemptive work, the work that was done through his death, until he comes. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And to examine yourself means you realize you are a sinner that needs a Savior. 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We also read 1 John. Chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. And I know it's in my Bible someplace because I've seen it before. And there it is. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, if you hold up our communion elements for me, Father, we thank you for these communion elements, and we bless them and sanctify them for this time of communion with you, Lord. And then this is our prayer for our communion elements. Repeat this after me. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, nothing missing and nothing broken. Every joint is supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ, in my community, and in this community of faith.
And in this community of faith.
We receive this bread, your body broken, Jesus.
We receive this bread, your body broken.
Thank you, Jesus. Lift up the cup of blessing and repeat this after me. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By the blood of Jesus, I have bold access to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help. For my assignment every day, by the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down. And there is no condemnation in my life. By the blood of Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, in your precious name we pray, Lord. Amen. We receive the juice together. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And it's nice to take a moment after you receive the juice, feel the blood of Jesus fill every part of your life.
Amen.
And take that time to acknowledge that he's done for us. Well, we thank you all again for being with us for another great conference. We hope you got as much from it as we did. Well, we know we did. It was a wonderful, wonderful conference. Hope you enjoyed it. And as Pastor said, there won't be prayer in the morning, the prayer program, but we will be on again tomorrow night for, I believe it's the last session of the Holy Spirit conference. We'll view that together, and then, like Pastor said, have a question and answer session as well. So we will see you all tomorrow night. God bless your sleep. Have a beautiful day tomorrow. And we'll see you all tomorrow night.
Wait, the benediction?
Oh, yes, you absolutely should say that. Thank you for reminding me. All right. Yeah.
But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, living in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And on some we have compassion and education, but others sleep with fear, pulling them out of the fire, and can be rid of them defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and forever.
Dominion and power.
Dominion and power for
now
and forever. Amen.
Amen.
In Revelation 1:5-6, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, and him who loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I love that so much.
I do too. And God bless you, everyone that was on YouTube tonight. We bless you, Roger and John. Sunday was here. Elaine was here. And all of the others that we didn't see that or that were here but weren't checked in, we bless you. Thank you for being with us. And, of course, Sister Phyllis and Brother Dan on YouTube. Have a great evening, everyone. God bless your sleep. We love you.
Good night.
Night.
Everyone.